We welcome back to the program a great friend to the show. You know him for his work at Boston Sports Journal, but why do we love Sean McCannon? Because he's a Renaissance man. He's got interests beyond the world of sports, very knowledgeable when it comes to music as well, and it's in that light that Sean joins us this afternoon. Hey there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. A little sad with the news, but, these things happen, certainly, and at 94, our friend Mr. Bachrach had a wonderful and productive life.
Absolutely. Quite a run indeed for a guy I've thought for decades was the coolest person in show business. Burt Bacharach, the great songwriter, passed away at the age of 94. And you posted this on social media earlier. You're mostly a rock and roll guy, but there was something about Bacharach, and like a lot of us too, that was something you were introduced to through your family.
Yeah, my mom was a big fan, and it's almost a different world to think back to that 1960s, Rich, where songs from Burt Bacharach would dominate AM radio. You'd hear it on Top 40. You'd hear it on Adult Contemporary or middle of the road stations. They were part of movie soundtracks. They were from Broadway plays. But you really had to try to avoid the presence of Burt Bacharach penned songs on popular radio in the 1960s. And of course, so many of those were sung by Dionne Warwick, in whom Burt Bacharach and Hal David found, the perfect vehicle for so many of their songs. But it wasn't just Dionne Warwick. It was Jackie DeShannon and Dusty Springfield and Matt Monro and on from all across the musical spectrum. And to think that he had, I think, almost 75 top 40 hits over the course of his career. And I think in later years, it was nice that his impact and influence was celebrated by more modern artists, from Oasis to Elvis Costello, with whom he had a long working relationship that resulted in a great album, one of my favorites of all time, Painted from Memory, which ironically is coming out next month in a deluxe configuration, and I'm literally counting the days till I can get my hands on that. But just an incredibly productive, influential, and simply great career that spanned, 60 plus years.
And what people may not know is that the first success that Burt Bacharach had as a songwriter actually came on the country charts. Give a little listen to this song that was released by the great Marty Robbins in 1957.
Someday I'm gonna write the story of my life. I'll tell about the night we met and how my heart can't forget the way you smiled at me.
Not written as a country song, but Marty Robbins was one of those guys who crossed over. That was a number one country song, but also hit the pop charts too. But 1958, that became the first Burt Bacharach competition to be a hit and really started off that remarkable career.
Yeah, and when you think about the diversity of artists with whom he worked, I mean, Marty Robbins, as you mentioned, mostly known from the country field, but also he spent some time in the late 1950s touring Europe as the musical director for Marlene Dietrich.
Right.
talk about all over the map. And then, as I said, to think about his relationship, his working relationship with Elvis Costello more recently. And I think that speaks to his innate talent and great composing and songwriting abilities, that the genre really didn't matter. If you had an opportunity to work with a master like Burt Bacharach, you didn't think twice about it.
I saw a headline earlier today, and it was on the online New York Times, and I was taken aback by it because it said something like Bacharach, purveyor of buoyant pop confections. And I thought, these people have never listened to a Burt Bacharach song. I mean, some of them could certainly be buoyant and perhaps peppy and up-tempo, but to me, one of the great things about Bacharach, and especially his collaboration with Hal David, was the fact that a lot of times there was some darkness not hidden very deeply in some of those songs.
No question, and I too would take issue with that characterization in the headline of the time. Some of them could be joyous, but, you know, maybe it's just a personal bias, but my favorite Bacharach song is Walk On By. And when you think about the melancholy that is infused in that arrangement and also the words, and I'm glad you brought up Hal David, who was the perfect writing partner for Burt Bacharach because his lyrics were so direct. He didn't traffic in a lot of imagery or metaphors. It was fairly to the point, but I think that was the perfect complement to Bacharach's arrangements and compositions and melodies. He had, I'm no music scholar, but I know enough that it had all sorts of unique and inventive time signatures. In fact, there's a great quote from Frank Sinatra, who recorded one or two Bacharach compositions, and Sinatra was said to have joked, he doesn't write in time signatures, he writes in hat sizes. instead of 3/4 time or 4/4 time, Sinatra joked that Bacharach could write things in 7 5/8 time that indeed sounded more like a hat size than it did a time signature. But yeah, there was a lot of melancholy there. There are often songs about unrequited love or breakups or pining for an old love. There was some criticism, I think, to their output in the 60s because as things became more complicated with the war in Vietnam and the civil rights battles that so marked that decade, that for the most part, these were love songs or pining for love songs, and they kind of stayed away from some of the more topical issues of the day, but not entirely. There were a couple of anti-war songs. The Windows of the World is one that springs to mind, talking about the man's general nature to resort to violence, and even there, there was something uplifting about those messages. But in general, it was those melodies that were written and those lyrics that seemed to fit perfectly, and those songs that would just find a way into your head and stay there for weeks at a time.
Well, let's give a listen to one of them that you mentioned, a great collaboration from 1964 with Dionne Warwick.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on.
Sean, for my money, the best two collaborations in all of pop music were Jimmy Webb writing for Glenn Campbell's incredible voice, and then Burt Bacharach, Hal David teaming up with Dionne Warwick. And it really was a collaboration. And one of the times Dionne was on with us, she talked about the fact that they worked together on the songs, and she had some input into making that big string of hits they all had together.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the recent Dionne Warwick documentary that is now available on, I believe, HBO Max. But I would encourage you to check it out, Rich. I can't think of the title of it right now.
It's called Don't Make Me Over.
Right. And that was the anecdote I was getting to. Dion, at the very beginning of their relationship, Dion was unhappy that he had given some songs that were promised to her to some other artists who then had great hits with them, and Dion was unhappy, and in a confrontation in the studio, shouted at Bacharach, "Don't make me over," and of course, Al David took that from a lyrical perspective and turned it into a hit, and Bert wrote an accompanying song to go with it, and that was one of their first star collaborations. But yeah, Dion was sort of a, she came from more of a gospel background in New Jersey. Of course, the sister of Sissy Houston, who was the mother of a more famous singer, of course. And he found something, Dion was more of a backup singer, and he found something in her voice and sort of elevated her to a solo career. And they had a just an incredible run from the early 60s to about the early 70s. And it got pretty ugly between all three of them in the early 70s after kind of a disastrous bit of work on a film soundtrack that tanked. And there were all kinds of legal issues. They, Hal David, Burt Bacharach, and Dionne Warwick all taking legal action against one another. It was kind of like the dissolution of the Beatles in the early 70s. They later largely patched things up and worked a little bit together down the road. But, for that 7 or 8 year period, there's just so much greatness of pop music with those three working together.
Absolutely. We're talking with Sean McAdam about Burt Bacharach, who died at the age of 94. He had a bit of a career resurgence in the early 80s with his then-wife, Carol Bayer Sager. They teamed up with Christopher Cross to create the Oscar-nominated song Arthur's Theme. And then, of course, a few years later, recruited Dionne Warwick and her friends to have a huge hit with That's What Friends Are For.
Yeah, I kind of jump off the train maybe in the mid to late 70s, Rich. I know that there were a lot of hits and some Grammy Awards and additional Oscars. You mentioned the theme from Arthur was a huge hit, and of course the big AIDS benefit single that he contributed to. So important work, but not to me the level, this was definitely more M.O.R., middle of the road compositions that didn't strike me as artful as his catalog and his output in the 60s and early 70s. I tend to pick things back up back in the late 90s with the collaboration with Elvis and the great Painted from Memory, which certainly opened up his career to an entirely different audience. I think it's fair to say that not many Elvis Costello fans in the late 90s had picked a collaboration with Burt Bacharach as something that was going to happen, if they even knew who he was. But it says something about Elvis and his great songwriting ability and great ear and great respect for songwriting that he thought that would represent a good partnership, and indeed it was. And then, I don't know if many people heard this, but only a few years ago, he started up another collaboration with a young guy named Daniel Tashian,
right?
Who has some connections to New England. His dad was Barry Tashian, who was the leader of a Boston band from the 60s, Barry and the Remains,
yes.
Who had the distinction of being an opening act for the Beatles on at least one of their 1960s tours. And I think it was an EP that got released with Daniel Tashian and a couple of songs where you can hear that Bacharach. You can hear a song, and I wouldn't say this about many composers or great songwriters. You can hear a Burt Bacharach song for the first time and know that it belongs to him, and that's The Bells of St. Augustine, I think, is the single from that EP collaboration with Daniel Tashin. And if you like Burt Bacharach and like his songwriting style, I would urge you to check it out online. I think it's available on Spotify and other streaming services. And you know, that was really his last contribution, although there's some stuff that has been unreleased with Elvis that's going to be part of that box set next month. But in terms of more recently written and produced stuff, that was kind of the more recent things of a few years ago. And in that the song The Bells of St. Augustine is just a terrific swan song for Burt Bacharach's career.
Let's listen to a little bit of that great collaboration. Here is Elvis Costello with Burt Bacharach playing the piano, and we'll hear a little bit of the wonderful song, God Give Me Strength.
Now I have nothing, so God give me strength, 'cause I'm weak in a way. And if I'm strong, I might still break. And I don't have anything to share that I won't throw away into the air. That song is sung, yeah. This bell.
Now, I think I've got the timeline right on this, Sean. I believe the two of them got together in no small part to work on songs for a movie loosely based on the life and career of Carole King, a movie I love, Grace of My Heart, that stars friend of our show, Ileana Douglas, and that was kind of the genesis for what became Painted from Memory.
That's correct. That's how they met, and you know, Elvis tells the story about Burt being in L.A. and Elvis at the time being in London, and typical of its time and technology, Elvis tells the story about how the song was written by fax machine, where Burt would send over you know, what he had written in terms of the melody, and Elvis would write the words back, and they would fax them back and forth, and eventually got together and recorded it. That movie is a terrific one, I agree, and I think Ileana Douglas is great in that. It's a weird mashup. You said it, you know, loosely based on Carole King, but there's also some Brian Wilson in there.
Yeah, with Matt Dillon as the Brian Wilson character.
Exactly. And then, you know, they enjoyed writing that one song so much that it turned out to be the beginning of a relationship that spawned the album Painted from Memory. And then some additional songs that were part of an Elvis album only 5 or 6 years ago in 2018, Look Now.
Well, I'm looking forward to that box set coming out soon. I thought I was telling Carrie this earlier. I thought we had Burt a couple of years ago. Lined up to come on the show when he did that collaboration, and we were pretty close, and we were just looking for a date, and then his publicist got back to us and said, yeah, Bert's decided he's a little tired. He's just going to do a few major market interviews, and that's about it. But hey, the man was 91, 92 at the time, so we certainly understood that. But man, I would have loved the opportunity to have talked with him.
Oh, I can only imagine. I would have been so disappointed in your place there to have think that you were going to get that chance to speak with him and then have it fall through. But you can certainly understand, given his age and everything else. But what an honor, I'm sure, that would have been for you.
Well, it's wonderful to have a chance to talk about him, and great to have you share your thoughts on the wonderful music of the great Burt Bacharach, because you are truly, Sean, as we knew already, a Renaissance guy.
Well, that's a terrific stretch on your part, Rich. I appreciate the kind words.
Good to talk with you, as always, Sean, and I'm sure we will catch up with you probably in a couple of weeks ago and talk about things that are, well, almost as depressing as the death of Burt Bacharach, and that would be the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm heading south on Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, to be down for a couple of weeks in Fort Myers, and then I'll be going back for a week or so toward the end of March. So you know where to find me, and be happy to come on and talk baseball with you.
That sounds great. Hey, thanks as always, Sean. Be well. Travel safely.
Thanks, Rich. My pleasure.
Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal, talking Burt Bacharach with us here.